Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Welcome back, friends. This is the Command Zone. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong, with...
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And today we have a special episode because it is the weekend of Grand Prix LA.
Woo! Man, so much fun. I'm tired.
Yeah, we are tired. and so today's episode is going to be a short one. We got all of your user-submitted questions last week for the competition, so we're going to be announcing four winners today. Very exciting.
Four this time, because we couldn't narrow it down past that. Usually we only do three, so...
Yeah, we're feeling generous, and you guys are awesome. So...
Yes, thanks everybody for sending in your questions. Really cool.
Also, there are only like 12, 13 submissions.
Yeah, so you had a really good chance of winning.
Yeah, one in three as opposed to one comment in like 450 on Reddit. So pretty lucky indeed. So we're just going to get things going off. It's going to be a shorter episode today. Next week, we'll be back to the full length with deck text and all of that good stuff.
So our first question is from Mark White.
When you build a commander deck, do you start with an idea or do you start with a commander?
Okay, Mark, so super cool question. I think this is going to be tough to answer. I mean, I can just answer it for me.
Yeah, answer for you.
Yeah, and for me, like, the way that I start a commander deck literally is I kind of go online and I just start looking at commanders, and then that'll lead me down a path of sometimes I just find myself and I'm just looking at cards that are in those decks, and I just wait until I feel like that spark of inspiration that's like, ooh, that seems exciting. And so I don't really start with either. I just start with an open mind, and I sort of look at cards, and sometimes I find a card, and the card has a mechanic, and the card itself is not even a commander, and I think, oh, I want to build a deck around that.
For instance, Prodigal Sorcerer.
Yes, exactly. So sometimes it's like, oh, I want tap ping effects, and then that leads down a road of XYZ, and I do that. Sometimes, though, you see a commander, and immediately a bunch of ideas come to mind for that. I mean, and then I build that commander deck specifically. How do you do it, Jimmy?
I like to start with a commander. Usually I look at the colors that I either want to play or haven't played, mm-hmm. or, you know, just like, oh, I made my last commander green white, so this one's going to be red blue or something. So I always start from just a choice of one color or two colors and then go from there. It's also important to note that if you're choosing a commander that's just a legendary creature from days past, like a really old legendary creature or whatever, they weren't specifically built for commander. So you're going to actually come across a couple of different obstacles when you're making that deck, as opposed to like the Commander 2013, 2014 decks. Like Kali of the Vast is built to be a commander.
Yeah, and the theme is built into the card. Which means the older cards, I think, have a lot of potential for you sort of being very unique and building a deck that nobody's ever seen, because they're not so streamlined and so like pointed in one specific direction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of great commanders out there, and really like the sky's the limit. If you're trying to be really competitive, then... that requires a little bit of research into what works really well, either 1v1 or whatever. But if you're just looking to make a commander and do something really fun, which I usually try to do, I usually try and find a really interesting mechanic on the commander and build around that. So when Marchesa came out, I was like, Marchesa and Grenzo were both in the same set, and I thought, these guys are both awesome sort of ideas for potential commanders here.
Mm-hmm. I think another way that people, I've heard of people building decks or choosing to build a deck is just going off a theme. Like, I want my commander deck to be all cats.
Yeah.
Want my commander.
Tribal.
Yeah, exactly. Or I want everything in my commander deck to be like a water creature, you know? Mm-hmm. So not even just tribal, just like there's a specific theme to the deck that, you know, kind of excites people. So I think that's one of the things that's great about commander as a format is just like, there's so many different ways to sort of have fun playing in that space and being creative and showing your own personality and your own uniqueness.
Yeah, and I think a really fun thing to do, too, is if you have, you know, the resources or the time, just come up with lists. Like, you can make, like, for instance, you can make commander decks for all the gods and make them really flavorful. And mm-hmm. you have, you know, a whole set of Theros to increase that flavor, as well as tons of cards from the past that will help out with, like, including angels and all these sort of, like, mythical beings and stuff. So you can really keep the flavor up, and it's a lot of fun. Plus, when you play, it can sometimes excite the playgroup a little more if you're not looking to just, like, slam down and beat someone turn five or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've said this a lot in the past. Like, yeah, there's a whole sliding scale of, like, how powerful you want your deck to be. And, you know, once you've been playing for a while, you want decks that are all along that scale. Because you're just going to run into different situations. So that can be another thing. Like, I had a time where I was like, man, we're playing with some more competitive people. I need another competitive deck. And so I
Joyra.
Went to... Yeah, so I went to build a deck that way where I was like, okay, I need to think of an actually strong deck, and maybe I'm going to be a little not as interested in like theme and fun, and I'm going to be more interested in like how powerful is this deck. That's a totally legit way to go too.
Yeah. And that, you know, just do what you want at the end of the day. Start with an idea and start expanding on it. And just, I'd say spend a couple of hours, days, weeks, whatever, just thinking on it and like getting a list slowly together. And the deck will build itself, I think, which is the most fun part, I think, of Commander as well. One of the most fun parts.
Cool. So our next question is from MTG Mindslaver.
Ding, ding. Also, congrats. You've won.
Oh, yeah. Mark White, you've won.
You guys have all won. Packs, yes. Stuff, boosters, all that good
and
stuff.
And MTG Mindslaver, you've won. Come on down.
Da-da-da-da-da. Woo. All right, play the question.
Okay.
Is there any cards that your friends play that when they hit the table, you just want to flip it or just punch your friend in the face? And second question is, what's your guys' favorite commander run, like, individually?
Flip the table? I know that I've played a card once that made someone else literally glare at me so hard that I took the card and put it back in my hand. And then after the game, I took it out of the deck.
What card
the guy,
was it?
It was Warp World.
What? It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but the way that Craig said it was like, do you want this game to take another 50 minutes?
It was Craig?
Yeah, and I was like...
Wait, it was Craig?
It was, right.
How could Craig go about saying that, dude? He has some pretty impressive decks.
I know, exactly. I think it wasn't
maybe
the impression.
Maybe he was just having a bad day.
Yeah, maybe he was having a bad match. I think it was more he just... The card is wild. It creates chaos.
Yeah.
And like that's my favorite.
That's fun, though.
It is fun, yeah. I guess in that certain matchup, I guess I didn't fully understand the implications of what would happen when that hit the table.
So what?
I know, right? I think another card, and it's funny, both these cards are red, is Blood Moon.
Oh, yeah. Blood Moon is the card for me, for sure, that like pisses me off the most.
Yeah.
Just because I don't really have a deck that has a basic lands, like,
yeah,
I'm just
you
super...
have a couple, but most of them are like, you
but
know,
they
dual
might
lands,
have like I have 37 lands in the deck, and maybe five of them would be basics,
yeah,
like, you know, so it just turns off like literally 90% of the deck, like that's pretty rough. And then once everything's red, you don't have any cards that can kill the an enchantment, so
yeah,
Blood Moon's pretty oppressive. Tough to play against. It's you don't want to build your deck to beat Blood Moon either. Like, it's just hard to, and
yeah,
you know, it's not going to come up that often. But yeah, when Blood Moon comes out, I also don't like cards that make everybody discard all their cards.
Right.
I don't mind if it's like everybody except the person that cast it, because that person can win.
Yeah.
But it sucks when you're in like literally and everybody at the table discarded their entire hand.
Yeah.
And so everyone's top decking because it just is like
that happened yesterday.
Yeah, and it's just like
Sire of Insanity.
Yeah, it's just like. You know, to me, it's just like, okay, not a lot's going to happen because nobody has stuff that they can do.
Yeah.
And so it's like the game's just going to drag on and like you're going to draw land three times in a row. And like that sucks in Commander because, you know, you draw a land, you play it, you have nothing else you can do. You say go. And then it's like 30 minutes before you get to go again because it's Commander or whatever, you know, 10 minutes or something.
Hopefully those turns will be a little faster because
I'm just like somebody win at that point. Like, just,
yeah.
But that's the problem with Siren of Insanity is that. You know, the person who cast it had to discard their hand too, so they can't even kill everybody.
Also, color is red. Red, black, but red's in there.
Yeah.
I think maybe one of the other cards that makes me want to flip the table is, it's not one card specifically, but it's a deck that's just heavy control.
That's just like, you know, everything you play is going to get countered.
Yeah, like Tauron Sky Summer, where the deck is all
mono blue.
Balance. Yeah, mono blue.
Yeah.
It's
you know, I don't mind having one player at a big table that's that because they have to choose.
Yeah.
So if, you know, there's a 5-person game and somebody's playing mono blue, that can be okay because you can sneak some stuff through.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do it. But if you're playing like in a one-on-one or if you're playing like a
even three
two-headed giant
or,
you know, teams, then the mono blue deck is super powerful in that situation because it can just point all its stuff. It's like if you play League of Legends or a MMO where it's like, you know, it's like having a support class.
Right.
You know, which just makes the other, whatever it teams up with, like so much more powerful.
Yep.
The other question from MTG Mindslaver was, what's our favorite commander to run?
Oh, by the way, is Mindslaver a card that makes you want to flip the table considering that's in his name?
No, not really.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm fine with it because usually it wins. So it's just like, I don't mind losing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, at all. It's just like, oh, God, if we're going to play for 2 more hours and nobody's going to really be able to do anything, then I don't like that. My favorite commander trend, I don't know, you answer first because I got to think about it.
Mine's definitely Marchesa.
Oh, yeah?
It's because I get to play with everyone else's deck.
Yeah,
there's so much threat
effects.
Yeah, so it's like it's always a different experience. It requires a lot of precision and planning, I think, and it's got some consistency. It's really bad turns like 1 through 4, but past that, it's pretty solid.
It's pretty, yeah, that's a fun deck. I think mine is my Tim deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because it's just nobody's ever seen it. Every time I play all the cards, people are like, what is that doing?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. What?
And so that's sort of, it's just fun. I guess that shows the Johnny in me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my favorite deck. Okay, our next question is from Jack Herbanis.
You're a winner!
Winner, winner, winner!
Chicken dinner. Congrats,
all right, go
Jack.
To the question.
Will we ever see competitive Commander tournaments, or will Wizards ever put it in the Pro Tour?
The Pro Tour.
The Pro Tour thing, I think, is definitely no, or at least not for a long time until the format would have to change somehow, I think.
Yeah, there are competitive Commander tournaments.
That's
stores,
true.
I think a lot of stores take it on themselves to host like a Commander night or a league. And sometimes
I think that's happening more often because Commander as a format is growing. It's growing in popularity.
Yeah.
A lot of people are sort of learning about it.
And also anyone that has a significant Magic collection or has played Standard can make a Commander deck.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like everyone has access
to it. A lot of
to...
people, I think, enter the game through Commander too because it's
yeah,
a casual format.
That's how I entered.
Yeah, and a lot of you see your friends sitting around in a circle like laughing and yucking it up and they're not like being super serious. Like,
yeah.
If you see two guys like staring at each other and being super serious and like
just
sort of get,
card riffling.
Yeah, exactly. Then I don't, you know, there's a lot of people that'd be like, I don't know if I want to play that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if everyone's like sitting around and
having a beer, laughing,
yeah, and like laughing, then it's like, oh, that looks like fun. I'll try that.
Yeah. Also, there was an announcement recently that FNM is going to have a lot more sanctioned tournaments, and the list that they put up of different formats you can play now is it's everything. So it's including Commander and all sorts of fun stuff. So I think Commander is, Wizards One has recognized that Commander is an awesome format. They print product for it, which is as official of an endorsement as you can give it. The thing with Commander tournaments is it's tough. It's up to your local game store to set the rules, the ban list, like the mulligan rules and like all these sort of small things that, because there's no official rules, you know,
yeah,
for
exactly.
the game. Like, can you go infinite? And some stores do this cool thing where it's like you get points for
point
limiting
system.
Players, or you lose points for going infinite or winning before turn four.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a safety valve to make sure that it's not just, because you can make something super broken.
I mean, for me, if I'm going to play competitively, I'd rather play limited or standard or something.
Because
competitor or commander as a format just wasn't really designed for it. But, you know, it can be fun. But there'll usually be some rules in place to sort of keep it on the rails because just the deck power can just be so varied for Commander that it's just hard. It's hard to sort of standardize it for a tournament. But, you know, there definitely are competitive events for Commander if you just go to your local gaming store. And if they don't have them, you can ask them and you can find stuff online that sort of give you some basic rules for how to run a Commander competitive event.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, our next question is from Dan Locke.
Ding, ding. You won as well, Dan. Congrats.
Ding, ding, ding.
You're our
ding,
last
ding,
winner of
ding.
Today. You're the best.
Our final winner of the day.
Here's the question.
I just like my game show
voice. Oh, okay. Yeah. I do like it, too.
On to the question.
Dun-dun-ba-dun-ba-bum.
Hey, guys. I love the show. I just discovered it recently over the last month or so, so I've been able to binge a little on all the episodes, which has been really cool. So I guess my question would be, how do I manage the politics of playing a mean deck? You know, I feel like there's a point where my play group just won't play anymore. So how do I, as someone who really enjoys the mechanics and complexity of decks like Rubinia or Haleva or like the Gaddock Teague deck you guys broke down a little while ago, how do I, as that type of player, still play decks like that without people just completely shutting down and everyone just immediately gunning for me and teaming up before the game even starts?
Dan? You're a terrible, terrible person.
How dare you play something mean that helps you win the game?
No, it doesn't make you terrible at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, you always have to manage your play style within your play group, and you have to sort of weigh things like, you know, well, I mean, we're not there, so we don't know how badly it's upsetting the people that you play with. And
there's
sort of like two options or two things to think about in your mind, which is like, if they're reacting in a certain way to the type of decks you're playing, you know, you can't change their minds about how they're going to react. Like, that's just the way that the life works, right? So it's within you. You can either say, well, I need to find new people to play with, or I need to change the way I'm playing if I don't like their reaction to it. I mean, it's just there's not really a good way to just keep playing mean decks that they don't like and have them suddenly like it.
Yeah, and it's the fastest way to lose a friendship. Is if you're like, here's the thing, you're a terrible person. If you play a mean deck, your friends are like, hey man, like, you know, like none of us have this kind of effect that really dominates the board in the way that yours does. Maybe like, I don't know, is there just some way you could mitigate it? And you're like, no, then you're a terrible person.
I mean, I don't think you're a terrible person. You're just, yeah, that's just not, like, what's going to change about that, you know, looking forward into the future that's going to, like, what are you asking them to do and what are they asking you to do
yeah.
and which one's reasonable and which one's not? And if you don't want to play a different way and they don't want to play with it, that's fine. You just have to go your separate ways with your magic life, like, or your commander life, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think also, like, here's a good way. Something I've used is, like, you play something and people complain about it. And then, you know, you go, okay, but here's some ways you could maybe fight it.
Right.
You know, and you help them sort of tune their deck or change their deck in a way that they have a fighting chance against you, you
know? Right,
right. And that will make them maybe feel like, oh, I can combat that deck. I know you mentioned, like, people teaming up on you beforehand based on your commander. There's some tricks you can use here. One was we talked about in the Nekusar episode, which is I hid the Nekusar in the deck and used Chromat as my commander so that it's hard to, you know, people don't hate on Chromat.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know, you know, that it's the Nekusar deck. Or even if they know it, they don't know when you've got it.
Yeah.
It's not as scary when it's like, well, sometimes I don't draw it, so you don't know if I've drawn it or not.
Yeah.
So that's one way. Another way is you could build commander decks with the same commander, just two different versions of it, and they don't know which version you're playing. One's the mean version, one's not.
Oh, right, right.
And that can help mitigate.
Yeah, or I mean, like, so my Marchesa deck is all about threat and effects and stealing other people's stuff, mm-hmm. sacking it, and then having come back as mine pretty much permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, have very varied reactions to that. Some people are like, cool, all right, sweet, I'll play my next threat. Some people are like, dude, that's my commander. I can't get it back right now because you put a Whisper Silk Cloak on it.
Yeah, that's the worst. When somebody turns off your whole deck by stealing your commander and it's just sitting there on their side.
So, I mean, like, it's also, like, the mentality I go into playing the game. If it's, like, I'm going to play this one to have fun and see if I can make some cool interactions and still try to win,
mm-hmm.
or if it's just, like, I need to win, I'm going to do what it takes. And, like, just having different plays, I mean, you're going to play a lot of games, Commander. You don't always have to go into it being, like, I'm going to do my absolute best to crush.
Right.
And, of course, my players would be like, what are you talking about? But it's fine. Like, you know, you can bring out your inner Johnny or Timmy when you're playing to mitigate if other people are showing you, you know, like, negative emotions towards what you're doing. Or just build another commander deck.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it, is, like, you have to pay a cost if you want to play the mean decks all the time and not make your playgroup mad if they are getting mad. And the cost might be that, like, once in a while you have sort of a deck that maybe isn't as fun for you to play because it's a little more dirtly, it's a little, you know, less mean or less what we'd call competitive, you know. But that's just the price you might have to pay sometimes to allow you to play the mean deck, because if you just play the mean deck all the time, understand people being like, well, I just don't have fun playing against you.
Yeah.
But if you play the mean deck, like, you know, 40, 50% of the time, and the other 50% is, like, a fun deck or whatever, those percentages are just made up. You'll have to find the sweet spot for you. But that can help sort of mitigate the amount of, like, negativity coming at you. Because it's like, okay, he played the mean deck, but then the next game he pulled out that other fun deck and we had fun. And it's like, you know, so that you're not just, like, mean all the time.
Yeah, and I'd say the chances of you and someone else having a similar mentality when it comes to playing a deck that's there to do a good job at winning the game is going to be pretty high. I mean, you're not going to have four people around the table and everyone's just like, let's only play fun, dirtly decks. You're going to have natural-born competitors in everyone. And, like, you know, it's your playgroup. It really comes down to, like, is your playgroup something that you want to keep and foster? In that case, take active steps to making sure you don't destroy that trust between you and your friends, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we get this question. This is probably one of the most asked questions. It's like, how to sort of, really the heart of the question is, like, how do I make my friends play how I want to play?
Yeah.
You don't. You don't. You can sort of, like, slip and slide a little bit. Like,
yeah, you can push people a little bit one way.
A little.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing within the margins here. You're not going to change somebody's personality. You're not going to make them like something they don't like.
Yeah.
So
not everyone's going to like red like me.
You just have to barter. You know, that's basically what it is. Like, I'll trade you me playing the mean deck once in a while. In exchange for that, I'll play a deck that's a little more fun once in a while. And, like, if you're not willing to do that, that's fine. But you just have to go find maybe a different group to play with.
Yeah. Which is not the worst thing in the world, too. Just, I mean, everyone's situation is different. Like, everyone that we play with are our close friends. So it's very important to us that we make sure we mitigate this always and, you know, understand what's coming on what end of the table and just sort of almost living with it, too, for a bit. Like, we play with all kinds of competitive players and non-competitive. And, like, at the end of the day, I think it makes me a better player to play against someone that is actively trying to, you know, do a good job, because it makes me look at my deck and actually think about what I'm doing and what cards are in there. And, you know, every time I play a game, it's really exciting to be like, this didn't work out.
Should I change it? What card's better?
Yeah, what happened in this situation over the course of the night? What did I see? And, like, you know, you can really mold your play style and just become, I think, a stronger player. And I think, to me, that's really interesting.
Yeah. No, good point. Really good point.
Yeah.
We have a runner-up question. This is Vincent Trong. Vincent plays at our LGS. We saw him at the GP.
Yeah.
Vincent, you've already...
I drafted with him yesterday. It was fun.
Yeah, Vincent, you've already gotten some stuff from us. So, you know, you're a winner, but not of a prize on the show. But you're a winner because you're about to have your question played on air. Go!
Go, go, go!
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Josh. My name is Vincent, and I had a question. How do I get my friends to play Commander?
So this is actually a really good question. I like this question a lot.
So actually, let's give some backstory. Okay. So Vincent's friends do play Magic. They like they play casual Constructed. So just sort of no ban list, no, you know, restrictions as
and
to what
and they play multiplayer.
They play multiplayer, yeah, with 60-card decks.
Yeah.
And Vincent wants to get them into Commander, but he doesn't know how. And it seems like they're unwilling to take the plunge.
Yeah, and I think the best way to do this, or one of the best ways, would just be to build a couple decks and just hand them out.
Yeah.
That's a really good way. Mm-hmm. Or try and get one of your friends to play it with you. You know, that's a good way. You could buy the Commander
the
precons.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and each of you just start there. And then you've already got cards, so mm-hmm. they're going to naturally be slotting cards in. And I think, you know, here's something... Make sure the first experience, we talked about this on Teaching Magic, and
yeah.
these guys know how to play Magic. It's not the same, but there are some philosophies that cross over. And one of it is like, make sure the first few experiences are fun. So yeah. we were just talking about mean decks and stuff. If you want people to play Commander with you, you don't start by like just destroying them.
Yeah.
You start by letting them have fun, seeing the possibilities of what the format can offer.
Yeah. And actually, I think the decks coming up pose a really interesting entry point because
yeah.
monocolor decks are pretty rare in Commander in general. Everyone, all the commanders are usually gold cards. They started out as gold dragons or whatever. So I think that'd be a really cool way to start. Like, hey, like, you guys ever wanted to play monocolor decks? Well, check it out. Let's try a new format and a new sort of deck type at the same time. So it's sort of, it's not just like, we're just playing Commander. It's like, no, we're actually, I'm doing something completely different at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
I think monocolored's really sweet. I think it's a really cool spot because it's also like the, you know, if you have a five-player game with the five monocolored decks. How sweet is that? Yeah
just to do it. Yeah, we should totally do that when
those
come out.
All the ups and downs of each deck.
And then you have your identity. Like, I'm the blue guy. Yeah. You're the red guy. And like, just, you know, for that game. And it's just like, yeah, I think that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, and you can swap them off.
And those precons are coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
So,
not to mention, like, if your friends are into buying for value, like, those all have valuable cards in them.
Yeah.
They all have a soul ring. They're all going to be definitely worth the price of admission. Very rarely are they not. So, definitely.
So, Vincent, precons. And Vincent's friends, if you're listening, which you don't play Commander, so maybe you're not, but give it a shot. You'll like it.
Give it a shot, yeah. I mean, it's a great way to spice it up.
Yeah, you know, for sure. I mean? Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't be playing how you used to play anymore.
Yeah.
It's just another option for you to start playing. Like, Magic is this thing where, like, Jimmy and I still draft and play Sealed. We played Constructed Standard at the GP this weekend. Like,
I tried.
Yeah, me too. I mean, ultimately...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so... You can just add this to your repertoire of stuff that you do in the world of Magic. So
yeah, and it's not like an expensive entry point either if you're worried about that. Christmas is coming up; it's all coming out around then. Ask your parents to get something for you, or just get it for yourself.
I was gonna say I don't ask my parents to buy me stuff anymore; I just buy them stuff. What happened?
Yeah, that's true. My parents stopped putting a Christmas tree up about 8 years ago.
So that's what you have to look forward to, kids.
All these little kids are like, wait, what? Don't worry, guys. Christmas is real.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while... Enjoy actually everything that's not real life related while it lasts. If you're in school, keep it cool. You're having a blast.
If you're in school, keep it cool.
The Command Zone endorses education.
Okay, so sorry about the short episode, but we wanted to announce the winners. We'll be back for a regular episode next week.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be announcing another contest for this week on Twitter. So make sure you follow us at CommandCast.
And at Josh Lee Kwai.
And at JF Wong.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Keep playing.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.